I'm not going to look at marriage, but I'm going to look at something, you know, different. And I see a God who's so loving and a God who wants to meet our need. And he met the needs of Adam, the first man God created. And likewise, I think God is able to meet each and every one of our need, whatever needs that we have. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at the passage that was just read. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can gather together as your people to worship you, to adore you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Help us, Lord, to bring our needs before you. And help us, Lord, to find joy, satisfaction, and happiness in your name. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name, we pray. Amen. How many of you like road trips? One, two, three, wow. Yes, I think all of us like, you know, road trips. And I remember one of the best road trips that I had was not in Canada. My wife and I, we took a road trip in New Zealand. And it was a 10-day road trip. It was wonderful to be just driving around. And one of the things that I should say about New Zealand, it's very scenic. It's beautiful when you drive around. Though the life is laid back over there, but you'll enjoy driving. And I came across an article that says, you know, during this particular season, many of them go on road trips. So one of the things that my wife and I like, you know, particularly traveling, is not just, you know, that's not our hobby, because we don't have really the means to have that kind of travel hobbies. But we love to travel. Now, one of the things we enjoy is, you know, the culture, the people, and above all, the nature, the wonderful nature, the places that we visit. You know, we just marvel the way, you know, God has created and how God sustains the entire world. One of the fascinating things is about, you know, looking at the sparrows or even the small birds that fly around and how God provides. This God is a God who provides even the sparrows. And the Bible reminds us, right, we are more valuable than many sparrows. So when I look at all these things, I realize that God did not just create the entire world and just left it like that. But this is a God who sustains the world, a God who provides, and he's there in every part of our life, in every aspect, and he wants to journey along with us. You know, today's passage is a very interesting passage, because when you look at the life of Adam, and Adam was created. I think all of us know the creation story very well. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, each and every day he created, and finally he created Adam, right? And God said, you know, everything was nice and wonderful. And so he created Adam. But then you realize that God, after creating all this, you know, it says in verse 2, the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." In Genesis chapter 1, if you look at the creation story, God created and he looked at the creation and he said, "It was good. It was good." Right? But then in this particular story, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, you know, I believe, you know, God was just looking around, you know, and all the things. He looks at the sky, he said, "Oh, that was a wonderful creation. The birds of the air, you know, and the creatures in the sea," and he's just marveling and saying, you know, "What a wonderful thing." But then he looks at Adam. I'm trying to imagine how. He looks at Adam, he said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God could have said, "You know, I have given you all these things, Adam. I've given you the birds. You can enjoy the animals, the nature, the landscape. Everything is yours. You can enjoy, you can find satisfaction in all these things." But God didn't, you know, God looked at him and said, "You know, this is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him." In this particular passage, I want to see, you know, how God meets our needs. At the same time, I know the process or the principle involved when God meets our needs, my friend. It is not just a need for our future, But it is also a need. You know, I know some of you are in school. You know, God knows what our challenges, our struggles are. He's willing to meet our need in our schools, in our career, or the financial struggles we are going through. He's able to meet. If he's a God who's able to meet the need of Adam, he's able to meet the need of each and every one of us. The first thing that I realized, you know, God knows our needs before we do. I think that's the first thing that I realized from this particular passage. He knows each and every need before you know what you want in your life. Can you imagine a God like that? He knows even before I can imagine there is a need in my life, even though before I know, you know, this is what I want in my life. God knows that. That's what the passage tells me. Look at the passage very carefully. You know, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And I will make a helper for him. I know many of you are in the business circle, financial circle. I believe you have come to a term called the latent need. The latent need means, in the business circle, it means it's a problem that a user or a consumer doesn't realize that they have. It's a problem the user or consumer does not even realize there is a need. That is called a latent need in the business arena, my friend. You know, God knows before you have ever dreamt that you have a particular need in your life. It is not that you have a need, but even before you thought about this, God knows our need. How many of you have telephones, handphones? Maybe that's a wrong question, right? Probably 99.9% or maybe 100% of you, right? Some of you might even have your office phone with you. So all of us have, you know. When I was, you know, this is interesting, you know, I was looking at, you know, how these telephones, you know, today we don't leave home without it, like something like the American Express, right? You don't leave home without it. Everything is about, you become, you know, you immobilized, you know, if you don't have the phones with you, everything is around our phones. But I was just looking, you know, about Graham Bell. You know, he invented in 1875, right, this particular apparatus, this particular item called telephone. Before then, no one was ever thinking about all this, that we have a need. Probably they were thinking about, you know, about communication, that's all. But people never dreamt there would be a telephone, right? And so what happened, I think, in the first 25 years, you know, one in every 10 families had telephones in the U.S. But today, if I tell you, don't come to church with your handphones, probably none of you will come to church because our lives are tied down around our phones. Our agenda is all there. Our scripture readings are there. Everything is there, right? The first thing that we ever look, right, when we get up is our phones, right? We have become... Have you realized there was a time we had never thought about it was a need? Similarly, it was the same thing. Adam never thought in his life that he needed Eve, that he needed someone to be there for him. Even before it came to his imagination, to his thoughts, or to his mind, God knew. It's important. Look at the words Jesus said, right? Do not be like them. He said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He knows before you can even ask God. God knows what is your need is, my friend. He knows what is important in your life, what is essential for your life, what are the things that need to be done in your life. I think that's the first principle that I see, you know, about this particular God, you know. That he's not only he knows my name, but he knows my need. He knows what I need in 5 years down the road, or maybe 10 years down the road. Maybe my mind cannot think what I need, but God knows. I know some of you are students here. You know, God knows what you need probably in 10 years down the road. before even you can think about it. I think that is the God that we worship. That is the God we should have confidence, because He knows what we need in our lives. But God doesn't simply just give this particular need. There is a process involved, right? Look at the verse very carefully. He places the need in our hearts before He meets our needs. In other words, God places the need. He doesn't just bring something into our life. He creates a need in our life. He creates that particular need. You know, when you look at scriptures very carefully in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, what was happening, God told Adam, right? If you look back to the story again, He said, you know, you go and take care of this land, right? Nurture it. In other words, God was saying, you know, you need to labor, you need to work hard, Adam, to take care of this particular land that I've actually given to you, the world that I've ever given to you. So Adam was given his work. Have you ever asked yourself, you know, why did God ask Adam to name the animals? Well, the scripture tells us that He named the stars. God named the stars in Psalms. We read it about it. He names the stars and He calls out by name. But God gave Adam the responsibility. Why? God could have said, you know, Adam, I just want you to sit down. I will do the naming of all these animals. I believe, I think God was, first thing, I think He wanted Adam to be involved and to do some kind of labor, work. Because as Adam was naming, as he was doing that particular work, you know, he realizes there is a need in his life. Like, look at the word very carefully, right? God brought before him all the wild animals and birds. And I think Adam and everyone was, every bird and animals were coming to him. So Adam is trying to find a name. Oh, you are Mr. Lion. And so you will be called Mrs. Lion. Or so you will be called Mr. Tiger, and you will be called Mrs. Tiger. You will be called Mr. Hippopotamus. And I don't want to say, no one wants to be known as Mrs. Hippopotamus, right? So he's naming, he's laboring, he's working. Not only he was taking care of the fields, but he was working. Then, can you imagine, I think as he was going through, I believe, you know, Adam would have thought, you know, I'm doing this, right? But for Adam, there was no suitable helper was found. The same verse also tells us. In a very figurative language, you know, I was trying to imagine and also looking at, you know, writings. It says, you know, as Adam was doing this, as he was working, naming them and all that, you know, he realizes, you know, they were coming in pairs. But then he, you know, there was some kind of, you know, and God was creating that particular need in Adam. You know, maybe it's time. I don't have a companion, right? And so God was not, you know, God could have immediately could have said, you know, Adam, I've created you, and so here is Eve. She will be, you know, Mrs. Adam for you. She will take care. No. God have easily given, you know, Adam, Eve to, and just created another person and said, you know, she is your wife. Take care. Take care of the world. Be responsible and all that. But no. Passage is very clear as he was doing, you know, but there was no suitable helper was found. God was creating that need. Sometimes, you know, I know some of us are students here, right? When you go into certain schools or in certain classes, sometimes you tend to struggle, right? And then you realize this, you know, you realize that you need to do a lot of hard work. What is God trying to do, right? He's actually preparing us for the future. That everything is not easy. Hard work is involved, right? And so there will be moments you will say, you know, this class is difficult to pass, right? So God is maybe preparing us for a much more greater challenge in life. And so we realize there is a need, and I need to work harder. So God creates that particular need in our lives too, my friend. When you feel that you are inadequate, what do? Right? You do extra, you place extra effort, probably you go for classes or you audit courses. You know, you need to ensure that you are there. You know the stuff pretty well. So as you're doing, you begin to realize there is a need is in us. And that was happening. No, God created. God could have immediately said, you know, I created you, so let me provide you with everything. You know, I'll just give you before even you can ask. He creates that need in us. But the thing is that what are we doing with that need? Are we saying, Lord, I need this, but I'll just, you know, yes, I know there's a need, but I'll just leave it like that. What did Adam do, right? And what did God do? God wants us to rest in Him fully. Look at the passage very carefully, right? When Adam also realized there was no companion, because no one looks like him, everything was different. Finally, what happened? I think God placed him, right? God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, right, the passage says, you know, ever, like as I said, you know, God could have easily said, you know, since there is a need for you, since you realize there is a need for you, I'll give it to you. Because good, you have come to your senses, Adam. So now I'm going to give you Eve. I'll give you this woman to be a companion, to be a helper for you. But he did not. I'm looking at the word very figuratively. God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Right? When you look at it figuratively, I think it says that, you know, God wants Adam, right, to be fully and completely committed to Him. That He will totally depend on Him to provide what was needed in his life. Look at the words very carefully, right? If you look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "No, take my yoke and learn from me, and I will be gentle, and you'll find rest for me." In other words, I think what is Jesus saying in this, and also in Psalm 37, verse 5, "Commit your way." You know, if you look at the passage very figuratively, what he is saying, you know, when Adam was taking complete rest, it was in a deep sleep, just totally in the hands of God. It means that he was just relying on Him, committing himself totally to Him. Some of you have gone for operations, right? You do not know, once they give you a jab, that's it. And the next time you're up and you say, "What happened to me?" And they'll say, "This is what has happened to you." It was like that, you know. Adam was here, gave himself fully and into the hands of God, and God gave him a deep sleep, my friend, and God did his work in Adam's life. Very interesting word, if you realize, in chapter 11, verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you." Why did Jesus say, "Take my yoke upon you"? In other words, it's very interesting. The language which is used here, it's like an animal. You put a heavy load upon that animal. What happens? The animal has the load on the body, and then it moves according to where the weight is. In other words, if this side is too heavy, it will start walking in that particular direction. That's what Jesus is trying to say. "Take my yoke. When I'm with you, I'm leading you, because I'm on you and my purpose is on you. And so when my load, my yoke is on you, you will lead your life or walk in a way where the load is." And that's what Jesus, and then he says, "You will find rest for your souls." In Psalm 37, verse 5, you know, the psalmist says, "Commit to the Lord." You know, this is a very in this word is a, it's a banking term. In other words, deposit your ownership to God. Deposit your entire ownership to God. I think today we need to ask ourselves, before God meets our need, are we resting in Him fully? Are we saying, Lord, I'm in your control. Fully. I'm just fully resting on you. And I just want your will to be done. I think there's a process that is involved here. God wants us to rest in Him, my friend. If you want to see His purposes in your life, His plans for your life, God could have easily given Eve and said, you know, I know, Adam, you are just thinking about it, and so before you can ask, here she is. No. He wants him to go through the process of a deep sleep that he can work in his life. And let me finish with this. The last one I see is, you know, God replaces what he takes away. I was trying to coin something, you know. God replaces, or in other words, he gives us the best when he takes away something away from us. What did he do? Right? He took one of the man's ribs. He took so that he can give, right, Eve to her. When I look at it in a very figurative, in a very spiritual sense too, many times I think God takes some things away from us. He wants to bless us with something much more greater. God takes away, sometimes we might say, you know, that opportunity was taken away from me. You know, I was so faithful. If it was not your fault, I was doing hard work, and I know, that opportunity was taken away from me. Even though I was sincere in my work, I was diligent, I was prudent, because he wants to do much more greater things in our life, my friend. Removing can be difficult, right? But if God, let me be very careful, if God removes it, not you or I remove it, if God removes it, he will always give something, replaces with a better thing, my friend. God took Joseph away from his family. It's a tough thing, right? Leaving your family. You could have said, you know, what did I do? My father loved me, so probably because I was a good guy at home. Maybe an obedient son. Because you don't see any fault of Joseph in his life. You could have said, you know, I'm the youngest. No one gives away the youngest. But what he did, you know, but if you realize he was still faithful to God, there was no passage or verse you will see that Joseph complained and said, Lord, why did you do that in my life? But then the same Joseph said, you know, you meant bad to his brothers, but God meant it for good. If God removes something away from us, that opportunity away from us, that particular thing away from us, you know, he wants to do much more greater thing. I was reading about a pastor's life. You know, this pastor writes, and when I was reading about his testimony, I was really fascinated. He was going for some kind of, you know, official function, and he met a car accident. Probably, you know, I believe he would have prayed before he leaving home, and saying, Lord, into your hands I commit myself to you, take care of my driving and all that. But then he had an accident and he was injured. You know, he fractured some of his ribs and all that. You know, and sometimes you may say, you know, where was God when he was driving? He was going for an important function. But then later, when the, you know, when the surgeons were working on his body, they realized there was a lump inside his body, and it was cancerous. Can you imagine? There was a lump inside his body which was cancerous. God allowed certain things. I'm not saying that God will allow accidents, my friend. God allowed because he wanted to do much more greater healing in this person's life. He wanted to remove the cancer tumor that was growing in his body, my friend. If he would have just gone without seeing the doctors, without any side effects, probably he would be in stage four. And given a time, that 3 or 4 months' time, he'll be out from this world. God allowed this accident so that this man will later be healed from his cancer. Sometimes God allows. You know, when you're faithful in your workplace, and you're faithful in all the things that you're doing, you know, sometimes we say, Lord, why did you allow this to happen in my life? Why? You know, I've been so faithful to you. But sometimes God allows because he wants to do much more greater thing in our life. Right? He gave. What was happening? He made a woman. Did Adam rejoice? The very pure poetic language Adam is using here. I don't want to, you know, go further. You know, when you look at the Hebrew word very carefully, you know, he's not just saying a poem here. He's just rejoicing. There's a lot of joy in his life when God has taken away that rib. By the way, according to medical science, your rib will also grow back, right? When God takes away, what was happening? Adam could have said, Lord, what's happening? No, I have a surgery here. Why? What did I do? You know, I was just naming the animals. I was doing whatever you told me. But why did you allow this thing? But what was happening at the end of the day in verse 23, he's just rejoicing. He's saying, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. There's a lot of fulfillment. There's a lot of hope and joy in this poem, my friend. He realizes that God did because he wanted to give him much more joy and purpose. Today, you and I have need. Let me tell you, there are much more greater need you and I have, which you do not know, but God knows. He knows. At times God places us in certain situations so that we will realize what is that need. I think it's important for us to have the spirit of discernment and say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Right? It's not another day, it's not another job. But in everything, God speaks to us. And he wants us to realize there is something that needs to be done. And he wants us to look at him. And he wants us to go into a deep sleep, my friend. Just give to him fully and say, Lord, you are in charge. God takes away to give us something better. When we come for the communion, it's a powerful reminder. Jesus' life, you might say, you know, why? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross for me? This sinless man who came into this world, why? What wrong? But why? He gave his life so that you and I can experience salvation. The communion is a reminder that you and I can have forgiveness of sin. The communion is a reminder that you and I can have eternal life that comes only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave himself. An innocent life was taken so that you and I can reach a life, abundant life, my friend, without fear and joy. We can live a life of hope. And I think it's important for us when we come for communion, remember, you know, that Jesus came to fulfill not only your temporal needs, but your greater needs. The death of Christ is a reminder that he needs whatever your struggle. Probably the doctors told you something. Maybe your finances, it's a bit difficult. It's a challenge. Maybe your work environment is not so good for you. You're having an uphill battle in your studies. But God says, you know, just come to me, depend on me, right, and help me, and I'll help you. So as we come for communion today, my friend, I just want you to take a moment and just think of, you know, how Jesus gave his life so that you and I can live a life of hope, joy, and peace. He did this for us, for our lives, so that we will be one day be with the Creator, my friend. Let me pray, and then we'll be part of the, we'll come and join as a church family for communion. Father, you know, Lord, what we need in this life. It might be small. It might be something which we might be unable to just share it with someone. Not only you know our needs today, but you're a God who knows our needs, of God, even before we can think about it. You know what needs to happen in our lives in 10 years down the road, or 5 years down the road, or 15 years down the road. You know, Lord, what we need. Lord, we pray that each and every encounter or experience that we have, O God, you're speaking to us. They are not coincidences in our life, Father. They are lessons teaching us that there is a need, and only this God is able to fulfill that need. Sometimes, God, we wonder why you took this away from us. Why we have been so faithful. But Lord, we know that there are times, of God, you take away because you want to do something greater, better in our life. Help us, of God. And our help comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.